Hello again, everyone. I'm sure you're all fed up to the back teeth with hearing from me today. This must be a record number of boos. Oh, there's one of my cats. Oh, I'm just going to sit down in my swinging seat. I've got a horrible rose bush that sometimes catches me, my head. It's a very peaceful, still evening. Apparently, it's going to rain tonight and tomorrow morning. It's very still, though, and it's not as cold as it was last night. There's a little bit of a breeze. I'm outside of my swinging seat, but actually I'm not sure how long I'm going to sit out here. Obi's not back from the co-op. He's got a friend down there who's a security guard. And I think I offended him when I shouted at him, "Don't do that," when he put that plate under my nose, because he didn't mean it to touch my face, but I didn't know what it was, and I just had a reflex reaction to jerk my head back. Anyway, he'll get over it. Unfortunately, Ronan's dinner, he said, was a disappointment. Now, Ronan is a fussy eater. He won't very often eat the same food as us. He will eat, if I do beef stew, he'll eat that. What else did he say? I planned the meals with him this week when I did my shopping. And I said, "Will you eat this? Will you eat that?" "Yes, yes, yes." "No, no, no." "Niall, come off the garden. I don't want you doing a poo up on the grass. You've got a special place to do that." He bought... Oh, there was another dinner that I was going to do that he said he would eat. What was it? "I don't want your ball." Anyway, he ordered these two chicken fillets. They were raw, but they had vegetables with them. They were called Mediterranean chicken. And you put them in the oven for 30 to 35 minutes. And I've done a boo about this, but in case anyone didn't listen to it because it was long. I was looking for rosemary on there, and one of the things that came up in the search, because I do my shopping at Tesco's online, was rosemary roast potatoes, and I thought, I don't normally buy ready-prepared roast potatoes, I always make my own, so I thought, oh, they sound nice, I'll just buy them for, oh, you know, if you want to do something quickly, and so I bought them, so he said he wanted some of those, so I said, okay, just take a few, and then he cut up and steamed. I showed him how to use the steamer. Oh, that's my stomach, excuse me. Carrots, tomatoes, pepper, red pepper, onion, ginger, I think that was it. And peas. He had peas and a corn on the cob. Now, he said the chicken... I said to him, "Why don't you just have one of the chicken fillets and you can have another one another day?" "Oh, no, I'm really hungry." So he had a plate full of food, and I knew he wouldn't eat it. Of course, he hasn't done. So who's ended up having one bit of chicken? The dog. I'm not too amused about it, to be honest. I give up, really, because kids, they just don't listen. He said the chicken was a bit plain, but he did put garlic and stuff on it, I think. He overcooked the potatoes, and they were a bit hard. I had one of them. And he put too much black pepper on them, which they didn't really need. But on a positive note, I really enjoyed having him in the kitchen with me because I did have a tiring day, and to be honest, I felt quite weary at the thought of slogging away in the kitchen. It was nice to have some company to take my mind off feeling tired, and also he helped a little bit here and there, and I helped him. We helped one another, so it was really good quality, nice time together. Connor and Ronan cooked our Chinese last night, which was good. So getting my kids in the kitchen, I'm going to try and keep it up because it's not a bad thing. And Ronan is good at clearing away. I've done all the clearing away tonight, but he cleared away after Connor last night. Oh, I'm starting to shiver a bit. I haven't sorted out... I haven't spoken to Obi's line manager yet about the holiday issue. I'm really still annoyed about that because... He asked for last Friday and this week off, and they should have, if it was supposed to be in writing, they should have told him, because he's on a 0 hours contract, so he doesn't get paid for it when he takes time off, and he's never asked for any time before, and it was to come with me to the hospital because I had an appointment and he had to be there. He was told to be there on Friday and he was coming with me Monday. As it is, I missed my Tuesday appointment because he was called into work because they said he was supposed to be in work Tuesday. And so I didn't go. And then we've got this idiot of a line manager saying that he wants proof of my hospital appointment letters and then he can have the rest of the week off. Well, the rest of the week's gone, or he can have it as leave, rather. But the thing is, I don't see really why I should give him my letters. They're addressed to me. They're my private confidential information. They've got all my details on, many, many, many details which come out on those letters, previous investigations, all that kind of stuff, all the medication I'm on, which isn't a huge amount, but the fact that I'm on dialysis four times a day. Okay, it's no secret, but I just don't see why I have to provide that in order for my husband to take a week off from a 0 hours contract where he works about an hour and a half a day. And he has to justify why he wants the time off. Yes, the time is, the appointments have gone now for this week, but I do need to sit down and talk to him about the way forward because for any of you who don't know, if any of my new followers, I have got end-stage kidney disease and my husband has offered to donate his kidney, one of his kidneys, obviously, not two. And our blood groups aren't compatible. He's group B and I'm A, but they can still go ahead with it, but there are complications. So if I were to ask them to go ahead with it, I would have to have extra immunosuppressant drugs beforehand to fight off all the antibodies to his blood group. And so there are complications, and there's also a higher risk of rejection following the transplant. It doesn't mean to say I couldn't have another one, and it doesn't mean to say I'm going to die. But to be honest, this is a life-saving operation. It is a life-changing event. And to have some arsehole, excuse my French, wanting to prove that he's telling the truth and not making up some cock and bull story to get a week off, which he doesn't even get paid for, is absolutely enough to make me blow a gasket. And I tell you something, I don't like confrontations and I don't like arguments, but I'm unfortunately known throughout my family as I always have to have the last word and I've got an answer for everything. Unfortunately, it's not a very nice trait, I don't think. It's not something I'm proud of, but I will have an answer for everything he comes up with because it is a life-changing situation and it's something I need to think about because do I want to run these extra risks? Do I want to put him at risk? No, I don't really, to be quite honest with you. The thought of taking someone else's kidney, someone that I dearly love, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be married, is a very, very emotional situation. It's something that needs a lot of soul searching, and I don't know if I can go down that route. But on the other hand, do I really want to wait 5 years of doing dialysis four times a day and feeling like crap some days, which I do? I mean, you know, some days I'm fine, some weeks I'm fine, some months I'm fine, but then I'll hit a bad patch for a week or two when I feel awful, just tired, lack of energy and stuff. Do I want to do that? Do I want to live in limbo whereby I can't go anywhere that's further than 2 hours away from Guy's hospital? Because if I get called for a match, I've got to be there within 2 hours or it goes to somebody else. So do I really want to live like that? If I want to go away on holiday, I'd have to just come off the list for a week or whatever. If I want to go and stay with a friend overnight, that's my friend in Peterborough, for instance, and I'm in Kent, I'd have to come off the list for a night and that might be the one night when I get a call. So it's a lot to take on board and it's a lot to think about and I really could do without this extra hassle of some man that's a complete and utter prat trying to infer that we're making it all up. Okay, I could get the letters, I've thrown them away now, but I'm sure the hospital will send me out copies if I really ask for them. But, you know, I don't see really why I should. Don't see why I should provide that for them at all. You know, it's not like he's saying he's got to go to the hospital for himself. Maybe they might be justified, although I don't think for a holiday they are, even if it's for him, because he's entitled to some holiday on a 0 hours contract. He can literally basically tell them to shove it at any moment, as they can him. So, you know, I think what's happened, as I said before, is that they've got no one else to fill in for him in the area. So they're in the SH, you know what, because they've got no one to take on his work when he's away. So they're playing for time, basically. Niall, what are you doing? And, you know, it's a very unpleasant, I mean, it's the biggest dilemma I've ever had in my life, this is, to be honest. I'm being totally serious now. It's the biggest dilemma I've ever had. Do I take someone else's kidney? What if something happens to him under the operation? There's obviously a risk. What if I came through it okay and he didn't? How could I live with that? And I don't think anybody can really understand how it is unless they have been in my shoes, and I don't expect them to. And that's why I need to try and look up and find some support groups, because I need to talk to somebody who's been in exactly the same group, exactly the same position as me, to try and talk it through, to think it through. I can't even begin to think of it. It does my head in, you know. You wake up in the morning sometimes and you think, oh, well, there's no time limit on it, of course, but then I think, well, maybe I'll go on the donor list, and then if I get fed up with it, or I can't live like that, or I start to go downhill health-wise, maybe I'll ask them if then I could change my mind and we could... Oh, excuse me, I've got hiccups. Still go through with it, because that's something I don't know. I've got a lot of questions to ask a lot of people, really. The thing is, the people that do the transplant coordinators, they're so nice, they're sugary nice, and I find them a bit patronising. They're, all right, sweetheart, you don't have to make up your mind now. I know. They talk to me like I'm a child, and I can't be doing with it, you know they mean well. I need to feel that I can talk to somebody on an equal footing about it, and they're not going to treat me like a child. I don't think it's just me. I think that's just the way they are, and they're really nice. Don't get me wrong, they're nice people from what I know of them. They're just a bit OTT, if you know what I mean. It's like they feel sorry for me, and that's what I don't like. I don't want anyone feeling sorry for me. I'm a tough bird. I have had a very difficult, to be honest, had a very difficult 5 years, very, very tough 5 years, one way or another. But I'm still here. Ooh, I'm shivering, though. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's as long as you get stand up more times, you know, as long as you get up again. I mean, the last 5 years haven't been easy. I've had to live in 4 different houses through no fault of my own. We had a fire. We had to move out for 4 months. My cat died in the fire, and... Oh, here goes the dog with the ball. We're lucky we didn't, to be honest. If we didn't have smoke alarms, I think we probably would have done. And, you know, I had a caravan, which I lost, which was criminal, really. I don't know why I didn't do anything at the time. But, you know, I was in a horrible relationship before I got to know my husband, between my divorce and getting to know him. And, you know, there's been lots of little things and not so little things. And the kidney thing has just been going on all along, like backdrop, you know. That's like the background music. And I haven't ever really taken it that seriously until now. I've just thought, oh, yeah. I've never even worried about it. But now, Niall, please, that's enough. He's got a big plastic ball. It's the size of a football, but it's hard and it's hollow. And he knows, he doesn't realise that he'll never be able to pick it up in his mouth. Sorry if the phone's shaking, it's because I'm shivering. But he can't, he tries to pick it up and he can't, because he can't squeeze it into his mouth. But he gets angry with it. So the kidney thing, I've never really worried about. I just said, yeah, I've got kidney failure, yeah, whatever. But now, seeing the consultant the other day, it was talking in terms of, well, this is the best option for you because we want to make sure that you're alive in 5 or 10 years' time. And I thought, hold on a minute. 10 years? I hope I'm going to live a bit longer than that. Well, if you have a transplant from a live donor, you're probably talking about it lasting about 17 years. And then if you're fit, still fit, you can have another one. Well, obviously not from the same person. Otherwise, it's about 10 to 12 years. And I know people that I've known someone that's had it longer than that, and he's still fine. But you know, I thought, hold on a minute, I don't want to go and leave my kids. And I know that sounds I'm not being depressing now. I'm trying to be realistic. And sometimes when you think of it like that, it's scary, because I don't know. I might make the wrong decision. You know, I might say, oh, I'll go on the donor list. And then, you know, you hear people do die waiting for a transplant. They do. I'm shivering. The phone's really shaking in my hand. So, you know, it's a dilemma. And, you know, I got to thinking about my friend, one of my school friends. She wasn't going to have children. She married a sighted guy, but she had some hereditary disorder that meant that she had a 50% chance of passing it on to any offspring. So they decided not to have any kids. And then I don't know what happened, but, you know, he came along, her little boy came along. She was so happy because he was a surprise, you know. I don't know, yeah, how can you have a surprise? But I don't know, I suppose people do. And she was so happy, and, you know, I spoke to her on the phone, and you know, she was telling me all the little words that they have for things, you know, like you make up with the kids when they're little. And the thing that caused her blindness was actually cancer behind the eye, and it reoccurred, not in her eye, but somewhere else. She had it operated on, and it came back, and she died when he was just about to start school. And, you know, I found that tragic. In fact, it's the anniversary this month of her dying, and I always think of it, and I feel guilty because I didn't go to her funeral and I didn't go and see her before she died, because she lives in Wales. She lived in Wales, and it's a long way from here. And I had young kids. I mean, mine were, I don't know, young. The youngest one was a baby. We were on holiday, actually, at the time, and I just couldn't get there. And, you know, I often dream about her. I dream about her, that she's still alive, and I think to myself, oh, good, it didn't turn out like that, you know, because I feel guilty that I didn't see her. I didn't speak to her once the cancer came back. I spoke to her on the phone after she'd had it the first time, but I didn't speak to her again, because the last time I spoke to her, she said she'd been having these pains in her stomach, and she thought it was from lifting her little boy up, and she told me how he wasn't very well, and she'd slept on the floor next to his bed, and she thought that hadn't helped either. And you know, it's very sad, and I always think of that, and I know my kids are kind of grown up now, but I want to see that they're settled. You know, I want to live as long as possible. I don't want to go yet. I've no intention of doing so. So I don't mean this to be depressing, because I'm staying very positive about everything. Of course, otherwise you can't be otherwise everything just gets you down. It would get you down too much. So I always do my best to be upbeat and just face the world and enjoy life, even though it's very difficult sometimes. But, you know, everyone has their cross to bear. And I know people are far, people far worse off than me. I know that. So I always be thankful for that. Not that they're in a bad position, but that mine isn't so bad after all. But the other thing is, Obi's mum died when he was two. And so he doesn't remember her. And it's not about whether I get remembered or not, because obviously my kids would remember me now because they're older. But it's just, I feel sorry for my friend that her little boy won't remember her, because she was loving him so much, you know. And that's hurtful to me, because she was a good mum. And, you know, it's sad. And the same with Obi. I don't know his mum, obviously, but he didn't know her. He doesn't remember her at all. He's only ever seen pictures of her. And she left two little boys and an older girl. The boys were 2 and 4. And there was suspicion of foul play that his sister told him a couple of years ago. I don't know, in Africa anything can happen, can't it, really, basically. And people get away with murder, literally. So that always, it saddens me when I think of him without a mum. You know, you think of this lost little kids. I hate it. I hate the thing. And without the dad. He's got his dad still. His dad's still alive. But his dad has had quite a few wives. He's had polygamous relationship, whatever, how you ever you use that expression, which I think is banned by law. now, but it still goes on, if you know what I mean, out there. So he has been brought up by a stepmum, but she's all right. She's a bit of an old dragon, actually, to be quite honest. For my mother-in-law, we call her General. Mind you, we call my mum General as well, because they dish out their orders. I say your General, my General, that's how we refer to them. Is it your General or my General? Mothers, I don't know. But we wouldn't be without them. Well, I mean, he has been without his real mum, but... Oh, it's starting to rain. What? There's something wet just dropped on the inside of my wrist. I presume it was rain. Oh, another drop. I think that's my key to shut up and go in, really. Oh, here it comes. I'm on my swinging seat. Oh, I was. Oh, The rose bush got me. That thing needs cutting back. But I'm not the one to do it. Right. Where's this rain then? Come on, dogs, in you come. I've got to get the cats in yet. Nanny! Where's that little idiot? The big idiot's in. Where's the little idiot? The idiot number one's in. Actually, I'm not sure who's number one and who's number two. But I'm going to shut him out there because he's deaf and he can't hear me because he's old. Oh, I'm quite cold now. Let me go and see if he's in the cat's room and I'll see if they're in, I'll get them in. The cats have got their own room, you see. They're lucky. They're allowed in the rest of the house, but not at night. Are you in, cats? Who's in? Don't all speak at once. None of you. Oh, Pinky's in. Hello, Pink. She's in. Chantel? Chantel! Candice! Waka! I like it that they all answer me, you know. They're so respectful. Oh, Waka's here. It's those two little evils that aren't in. Mother and daughter. Do you need any dry food? Hold on a minute. If they hear me emptying the dry food in the dish, they might come. Go and get your other food in a minute. It's nice having a room to feed these cats in. You can't feed them on the floor in the kitchen when you've got dogs, because they will just eat it, and mine would. So I don't really want them on the worktops because I haven't got space to put them out of the way. And then they get their hair in everything. Fill this dish up. Yes, Pinky. There was already some left, so why is the new stuff better than what was in there already? It's exactly the same. Answer me that. Sorry about the cracking bag. I am special. Sometimes they're in and they just ignore me. I'm going to shut their door anyway, so they're not in now. That's too bad. Going, gone. Look, one bolt and two bolts. There, done. Now, I cleaned your room out today. I hope you're thankful. Keep it tidy. Don't make it in a mess. You're worse than the kids. I know, I haven't forgotten your other food. I will give it in a minute. Pinky's purring now. You've put on weight, Pink, which is good because you went a bit skinny. So my general informed me. Oh, one of the others is in. I think it's Chantel. Okay. I'll leave you in a minute. I'll leave you for now and I'll come back in a little while. Where's Lammy? I don't know where he is. Which is unusual. Because he's usually waiting outside that door for me. Let me go and see if he's upstairs hanging around the kids for food. Is Lammy up there?
Yeah.
Okay. He's up there. I don't think the rain came to anything anyway. I'm kicking dog bloody toys all over the floor and bones. It's like a cemetery. Is it raining? Oh, there's only a few spots of rain. What a letdown. Does that mean I've got to water my plants now? Let's have a look at them. How are you doing, plants? Well, if it rains in the morning, you'll be okay. Those geraniums my mum got me. She rescued them from the pound shop. She asked if she could have them cheap, and they said no, because they were half dead because they hadn't been watered. She took a load home, she planted them, and then she kept them, and then the next week she went back. There was a load more, so she bought them, gave them to me. They're really lovely. Now, they weren't. They were like nothing when I first had them, but they come up beautiful. Apparently they're a really lovely pink, and they've got such big flowers on them. They're really nice. Oh, but I'm quite cold. I don't know why I've got this door open still, but I kind of like to make the most of the... Well, I know it's not really summer now, is it? Summer went out with a bang with Hurricane Bertha's backside. But I like to have the evenings when I can have the door open. I can smell my curry plant, which is just outside the door. I've got mint out there. I've got a sumac tree in a pot. I've got a dead Christmas tree in a pot. That didn't survive 2 weeks of being indoors. All the wind's getting up now. And what else? We've got a lavender, a rose bush that needs cutting back because it gets me my hair. And I've got mad wild hair as it is without that getting involved. And sometimes I think I'm really stuck in it and I can't get out. I panicked the other day. I was going, I'm stuck. And I didn't want to touch it because you cut your hands to pieces. In the end, I just walked away and it had to let go. Either that or I'd end up bald, probably. Anyway, I'm waffling. I don't know what to call this. I don't know. What do I call a load of rubbish? A load of rubbish, I guess. It's very quiet here at night. Well, outside, I mean, not in here. Because we're right on the edge of the countryside. It's nice, actually. I like living here. I wonder what's happening down the farmers' fields. We haven't been down there since last week, so every time we go down there this time of year, something different's happening. Last time they'd ploughed one field and they'd taken all the bales of straw away, but there were still two fields where there's two fields where there was barley, had been barley and wheat, and they were still stubbly, but the stacks had all gone from there too. Anyway, everyone, I wish you a good night. I hope you're all having a good day, or have had a good day, or are having a good day if you're in America, or are sleeping well if you're... Oh, I think in Australia you'll just about be getting up. In America you'll probably just be coming home from work and having your dinner, in Canada. And in Africa you're pretty much the same time as we are. Well, I don't know about South Africa. I think you might be a couple of hours ahead, but... West Africa are the same time as us. And Europe, a couple of hours difference. You might be all in bed. Probably where I should be, really, but I doubt I'll sleep, so what's the point? Anyway, take care, everyone, and I'll be back tomorrow, if not before. Pause recording.